But let me tell you a short story. That the Lord does use whatever he decides to use to accomplish his purposes. And I remember reading a Bible story. I think I learned it as a kid too. That one time the Lord wanted a prophet to say something and nobody would say it. And he had a donkey to talk. I mean, that's... That was impressive to me that the Lord could use even a donkey, you know? And that's the polite word we use for, you know. He can use anything he wants to accomplish his purposes. And so sometimes when I'm feeling kind of down on myself and, Lord, I don't know what to say. I may not say it right. I don't have the great vocabulary and I don't know all the great stories and everything. I remember about that donkey. You know, and I say, wait a minute, he didn't even go to school, you know. And the Lord used him. And I'll tell you this. This was the word of God. It wasn't just for people to marvel at a donkey talking. This donkey accomplished the purpose of God. Now, this is going to have application as we talk a little later on, because the purposes of God are very important for us to realize and identify, because if we know it's the purpose of God, that creates a whole different situation than if it was just the will of us or the desires that we might have. Those are two different things. And as Christians, we must continue to understand that the most important thing is to understand the purposes of God, because they enable us to accomplish things that are outside of the range of what we could do ourselves. Now, the Lord does tell us to employ ourselves, to be involved, to serve, and tell us to do a lot of things. But those are at the result of his instruction. And I want us to talk about that today. I want to first pray so that we'll commit this time to the Lord, that he would speak to you. And here's something even before I pray. I want each person in this room to understand that God has something to say to you. Let me repeat that. God has something to say to you. In the churches, in the community from which I came, in the black church, preachers used to say, turn to your neighbor and say. Well, I'm not going to ask you to turn to your neighbor necessarily, but I want you to point to yourself and say, God has something to say to me. Say that.
God has something to say to me.
Okay. If you understand that, something that is shared today, the Lord will say to you, I want you to take it at heart. Because I'll tell you this, I got some notes here, and they're nothing but just notes, you know? If you throw them in the fire, they'll burn up, they'll be gone. It's nothing special about the things that I have here. But the Holy Spirit of God has something that he wants to impress you with. When you came here as two or three to be gathered in his name, his purposes stand strong and sure, and he has something for you to hear from him to move his, to advance his kingdom, to do his will and purpose. So I want to pray that the Lord would speak to each of us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to gather as your people, those who have bowed their knee to you, those who have been invited to the table and remember Jesus, who you sent to redeem us and make us a part of your family, Lord. Lord, remind us that you are with us and in us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Remind us in these words and what we have that we are not just the person that we are, but we are anointed and empowered by God to carry out his purposes. Lord, help us, Lord, to bring glory to your name however that's done, and help us to see the many ways that we can bring glory to your name, that we can accomplish the things that you want done, your purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Stephen's been speaking to us from Exodus and talking about Moses and the law, and it's been rich. And when he approached me last Sunday, he said, why don't you bring the word next Sunday? I said, well, you know, I think, I have to confess that I felt kind of like Moses. But we'll get into that story. Because I'm not steeped in study, real deep study of the law, and I'm learning a lot myself. And so I said, He said, well, just bring a word of encouragement. Well, I could bring a word of encouragement, I hope. And I said, Lord, help me to bring a word of encouragement to you. So we'll stay in the book of Exodus. We won't leave that book. But I want to look at some part of the story of Moses that has an application for 2025. That rather than just being a good story, and it's a good story. I mean, some of the things that we read in the book of Exodus and the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and overthrowing Pharaoh and their journey and the receipt of the law of God and how he took care of them and how he prepared. Those are great stories, and they're true too. You know, they're real stories. They're not just stories. They are real. And so that can be really fascinating. But what of that can we apply to ourselves is what produces the fruit. And so as we look at this, I hope that you will hear it with an ear toward, Lord, how can what you're saying about Moses apply to me? I'll tell you this, just this week as I've studied this, I learned some things. I've had some things applied to my own life, and I'll talk to you a little bit about them. So we all know the story of Moses and the burning bush, where God called Moses and assigned him and told him what his plan was. He told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let the Israelites go free from Egypt so that they could go to Canaan land. Because they were to be the means by which one of God's purposes would be fulfilled. God had purposed and communicated to Abraham that he had a land for his people. And he promised Abraham some things. And this process was going to be a part of God's purpose. Remember that God's purpose. We'll be talking about that quite a bit today. That God's purpose was to be accomplished by Moses doing all of these things that God discussed with him at the burning bush. It wasn't just so that Moses could be famous. It wasn't because Moses had particular skills, even though he did have some skills. He knew Egyptian custom. He had been raised in royalty in the Egyptian. So he had some good background. But that wasn't the point. The point was God wanted him to do something to accomplish what God had promised and said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so let's read some of this story so that we get a good background. If you'll turn to Exodus 3, the third chapter of Exodus. And we'll start reading at verse 7 and read the rest of that chapter, and then read some verses in the fourth chapter and see what we can glean from that. Exodus 3, verse 7. Then the Lord said, I've surely seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I'll send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Israel, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the Lord of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me saying, I have observed you and what you've been doing and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Israel and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now please let us go to 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver, gold jewelry, and for clothing. You shall put it on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. All right? And we're going to read a few verses in the fourth chapter. Then Moses answered, but behold, they won't believe me or listen to my voice, for they'll say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put your hand and catch it by the tail. Put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to pick up a few verses a little later on. The Lord, in this situation, just so I don't know, some people kind of keep notes. And so If you're keeping notes, if you want to know the topic of what I have to say, if I had to put a little title, I guess I would ask the question, what is in your hand? All right? And because the Lord asked Moses that. I think that that's going to have some application for what we're talking about today. I guess you can tell some of the influence that Steve Adelini has had on me, because he's always said, you need to define at least three good points to take away so people have kind of a bite-sized capsulization of what you're... So I got my 3 points. Here they are. I'm going to start with them, and then we'll reinforce them as I talk. The Lord will supply or provide whatever is necessary to achieve his purposes in our lives. The Lord will supply, he'll provide whatever is necessary to achieve his purposes in our lives. And the second point is, as to his purpose, he promises to be with us. So that when it comes to accomplishes in his purpose, if we know that we are accomplishing the purposes of God, and he's clear about what his purposes are, he has promised to be with us. And that's significant as well. Well, all of this is. And three, the third point, he is merciful and gracious. The Lord is merciful and gracious. I'll probably summarize them at the end again so that I studied in college and education, they always said, say what you're going to say and show it and do it and everything. And then at the end, kind of re-say it again so that people have it packed up ready to go. Is that right, educators? That you're supposed to. So I'll come back to these. Let me start out talking about this situation of Moses and the burning bush. In verse 10 of the third chapter, here God said, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God expressed a purpose to him. I've heard them, they've called to me, and I've promised them that when you call me, I'll hear you. And I got to bring them out of Egypt. And so you have a role to play. So Moses was informed by God that you are invited to be a part of the purpose of God. Now, ideally, that should have solved all the questions. But we are not ideal. And in 2025, we still find ourselves saying, Lord, I know it's your purpose. And we use this little conjunction, but. And then we fill in whatever Moses had to say. We fill in all kinds of excuses, even though we know it's the purpose of God. Even though his word is clear to us that his purpose is for us to go and preach the gospel to every creature, to make disciples, teaching them all of Jesus is what Jesus has told us, all of his ways. We know that. We know that's the purpose of God. We know that one of the purposes of God is that his glory covers the earth like the waters cover the sea. And so as we have a part to play in it, we really don't have to doubt that it's the purposes of God. We really don't have to doubt that we will be incorporated or made a part or provided the appropriate resources and things that we need. So God had communicated to him This is my purpose. I'm going to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm going to also show my awesome power. That was another purpose of God. And another purpose of God was to deliver the Israelites from slavery. So it was clear that God had generally and specifically communicated to him what his purpose was. But I want us to realize that as great as Moses was, and Moses was, it was acknowledged in the scripture, he was one of the greatest, he was the greatest prophet up until, I think up until Jesus Christ. He was a great man, but as great as he was, in his humanness, he said, "Oh Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it." And you know, he gave what we consider fairly valid reasons. "Look, I'm not articulate. I don't know the words to say. I'm hard of speaking. The people won't believe me, you know." And those are fairly realistic kind of ways that we say, "Lord, I know you want me to do this, but this man, what if I say, would you like me to pray for him?" He say, "Who are you to ask me, do you want me to pray for you?" But if it's the Lord's purpose, then that question is a different question, isn't it? It's to accomplish his purpose. Well, let me look at verse 11 and 12 that we've read already. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And the Lord, he said, "But I will be with you." That's what the Lord said, "I will be with you." Did you know that when we got the Great Commission by Jesus at the end of Matthew, the last thing he said was, "I will be with you to the end of the age." You know? So that the guarantee, the certainty of us involving in the purposes of God is that he will be with us. I hope that that's a word of encouragement, because many times, I don't know, we just let the enemy poison our imagination and think we'll be out there on our own, by ourselves, quote, doing the purposes of God. Well, if you're doing the purposes of God, he's going to be with you. And of course, it's easy for us to, years later, say that, but we have to apply that to today. That promise of him being with us in carrying out his will and purpose is still real and valid. It's very real and very valid. Now, one of the things that I guess we stumble many times is that we kind of look at situations around that are what we call real situations. You know, "But Lord, the facts are this. I don't have this," or "they won't let me do this," or this is really in the way, Lord. And Moses had the same thing, you know, "How am I going to do this? The people won't believe me." And I was fascinated by that, that the Lord told him a little later on, as we read, "What's this in your hand?" And I brought my walking stick here. I want to kind of show you. I think we need this just as a little visual thing. Moses had a walking stick. Looks something like this. See? Yep. Just an old stick. What's some characteristics of stick? It's a piece of wood. It's dead. You could break it easily. It's not pretty. It's just a walking stick, right? So he could say, well, I don't have anything. I don't have anything that I could convince the people to believe me in. This is what Moses told him. And Moses said, look, take this stick and just throw it on the ground. And Moses took the stick and threw it on the ground. Now, I'm not going to throw my stick on the ground because the Lord didn't tell me to throw the stick on the ground. And I don't think the people will believe that this will be a snake. I don't want it to be a snake, really. But I want you to understand, I do want you to understand that it was just a little piece of nothing that he told him, throw it on the ground. And do you know it became a snake? A snake that was real enough a snake that Moses ran from it. He felt intimidated by it. It could be a danger to him. And so the Lord said, you know, don't worry, Moses. Grab it by the tail. And he picked it up and it became a staff again. Now, I want you to understand that this staff didn't have anything of itself to accomplish God's purpose other than it couldn't do but whatever God made it to do. You know, just be a staff. But guess what? God had made it to be the means. Let's name some of the things that Moses' staff did. He used it to part the Red Sea, remember? He used it in front of Pharaoh to prove that God had sent him. And remember when the enemy and the sorcerers and the magicians, they said, hey, we got a way. We can make our walking sticks. And they threw down, and there were some snakes down there. But guess what the staff of God did? Ate them up. Consume them to show God's power, to demonstrate that, hey, you may have some gods, but those gods are little mini. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. They're consumed. You see, there were a whole lot of other things. God used that same rod, I understand, to strike the rock, and the rock brought forth water. What are some of the other things that you heard in the Moses story, that God used the staff for?
Turn the water into blood.
I didn't hear you.
Turn the water into blood.
All right. I think I listed some things here in my notes here. I think that Aaron's rod was the rod that, because here's what God told him. Look, you tell Aaron, this is God speaking to Moses, tell Aaron the things that I tell him. You be a God to him. So in other words, he was the mouthpiece. He was the expression of Moses. And so I think, I don't want to create any theology here. But I kind of think that Moses gave Aaron the rod because the rod eventually became part of what was included in the Ark of the Covenant, remember? Well, we won't get into any long theological thing. Okay, here's some of the things. The first thing that the Lord used an old stick to do is to convince unbelievers. I want you to just think about that for a second. Because whatever is in your hand, whatever the Lord has given you, whatever the Lord has empowered you with, he could use that to convince unbelievers. Amen. And you say, but Lord, how could you convince an unbeliever with just an old stick? Remember this story, that the Lord is not bounded by the simpleness, the lack of life that exists in this stick. He could put life in it if he wants. If we are accomplishing his purposes, then our first point is the Lord will supply and provide whatever is necessary to achieve his purpose. And he's not limited. Remember that as we look at this thing, he turned the frogs into the Nile. He struck the Nile. And remember all those frogs came forth in the plague? Some kind of way, he struck the dust and they became gnats. That was another one of the plagues. You know? He brought forth the locusts with the use of this one whole stick. Now, it wasn't a snake. It didn't appear as a snake then. It was just the rod. But God used it. I hope that I am stirring your thinking to realize that whatever the Lord has given to you, whatever resources, whatever talents, whatever skill, whatever anything, whatever rods, I mean, you could go down to something as lacking in worth as just a piece of stick. If the Lord's purpose is involved, understand that he's not limited by making it whatever it needs to be to accomplish his purpose. All right? The other thing is that that whole thing of death of the firstborn, you remember the angel of death came, that was the rod became a part of that, in that I think Moses must have raised up the rod and said, this is the way it's going to be. So understand the great God that we serve, his purposes make us a different person. I want to move right along here. Further along in this passage, Moses said to God, who am I? And I want to say that, you know, that I should go to Pharaoh, you know. Pharaoh's not going to be impressed by me. As a matter of fact, I'm a fugitive from Egypt. And so if I go, you know, straight up there to Pharaoh, who knows? They may just say, hey, we finally caught you. And, you know, But I want you to know that when God empowers you with his purposes, you become a different person. You know, you say, Jerry, that's a little hyperbole, isn't it? But I want to say that that's what happened to him. That's what happened to him. That he was just regular old Moses, a shepherd, out in the desert. And when God assigned him this responsibility, he became the leader of the earthly leader of the accomplishments of God's purpose of delivering the children of Israel. So I want to say to us, expect God in accomplishing his purpose in your life to make of you more than just yourself. Now, yourself, you may say, oh, I'd like to have this. That's fine. You can go and pursue it. But if you are pursuing the purposes of God, you have a different set of limitations. As a matter of fact, I'd like to say, since I'm up here, you don't have limitations, because God is accomplishing his purpose through you. All right? Now, here's some human limitations that Moses threw up before the Lord. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I'm not convincing. I'm not believable. Not official. Here's what God said. I'll be with your mouth. I want to just kind of say this right now. Don't find yourself making up too many excuses to God. Do you know in this scripture, it was something that kind of caught my attention. After God said, look, I've shown you I could turn this rod into a snake. You'll be impressive. I've shown you that I can, that you're accomplishing my purpose. And Moses was still complaining, oh Lord. God got angry with him. And I would just like to offer to you, let's not make God angry. That's just not a good thing to do. Now, the third point that we have is that God is gracious and merciful. But let's not presume upon it. Let's be quick to believe him that his purpose can be accomplished by himself through us and whatever we have in our hand, or just he will accomplish his purpose. All right? That's what faith is. Faith is trusting that, Lord, if it's your purpose, it's going to happen. And thank you for letting me be a part of it. Well, my wife kind of had to help encourage me because I said, hey, I don't have that much to say. Stephen's been doing a good job, and how can you add to that? And I was kind of moping around there trying to, and she said, well, do you feel like it's the Word of God? Yes, the Word of God. I believe it's the Word of God. I got it out of the Scriptures. Well, why is it that you don't think that? And I had to repent. I had to say, Lord, if it's your word and it's for your people and it's to accomplish your purpose, well, I don't have to worry anymore. So something as simple as this stick is a visual aid to say God can bring life. You know, that's why I said earlier on that these notes, I got some notes here, but these notes aren't what the word of God comes from God himself. And that's all that's necessary. And I'm just wanting to encourage us to be grateful to God that he allows us to be a part of the accomplishment of his purpose. Because, I'll tell you what, God's not without Aaron's, you know? Now, Aaron did, you know, carry out what Moses asked for him. But God's first purpose was to assign Moses. How would you feel? And I just want you to think about this. How would you feel if God called you to do something and you gave so many excuses that he said, well, somebody on the second string, come up. And he gave them the assignment that he gave you. Oh, you say, oh my, what a failure. That would be a failure on your part, wouldn't it? I'll tell you this, unless we trust God, we may find ourselves having to have second options. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to strike us off the list, because he's gracious and merciful to us. But let's be quick to say, Lord, I want to accomplish your purpose. You know, let's be quick as a people of God here to say, Lord, let us accomplish your purpose. Let's be quick to, as an individual, Lord, help me to accomplish your purpose in my family, in my life, at my job, in my involvement. Lord, as I see things that I can influence that move toward your kingdom way, Lord, let me influence them toward your kingdom ways rather than just flowing along with, hey, that's the way people do it. I think that I've covered the things that I wanted to. So I want to run over these three points that I made. The first one is that the Lord will supply and provide whatever is necessary to achieve his purposes, both individual and his purposes as a people. And his purposes is to be glorified and that his kingdom come. And however we can involve ourselves to advance that is the purposes of God. As to his purposes, if we understand and are convinced that it's his purposes, understand that what goes along with that is his promise to be with us. There are a number of scriptures. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And Jesus said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He's promised to be with us so that we are not going it alone. And the final one, he's merciful and gracious. So some of us have been guilty of saying, Lord, I can't do it. They won't believe me. But he's merciful and gracious. And as we come and repent and say, Lord, I want to accomplish your purpose. I want to be whatever instrument, whether it's just a stick or whatever you use, I want to be a part of that to accomplish your purpose. Remember, his mercy and his grace will restore you to him, and you can accomplish his purpose. And isn't that, when we were practicing for this morning, somebody said, we are made to worship the Lord. That's the reason why we are created, to bring glory to God. So understand the purposes of God. We don't have to strain to find out what the purposes of God are. We are made to accomplish his purposes. All right? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we are your people. And we thank you, Lord, that you have purpose, that you share through your word your purposes with us, Lord. Lord, help us to be quickly those who accomplish your purpose, who pursue your purpose, and who are not limited by the enemy's barriers that he may put up, which are just figments and not real, and not substantial, Lord, because you will accomplish your purpose, Lord. And so we thank you that you've been so gracious to us that you'd even consider making us a part of those who would accomplish your will in our lives, in our individual lives, in our collective lives, Lord. We give you praise and honor, Lord. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.